don't have to stop worshiping just because the music stopped. He's still a God. What a God. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You can find your way back to your seat. How about that youth praise team? Amen, amen. You may be seated if you're not seated already. So the youth team decided to do something a little bit different this year to kind of honor the graduates that are leaving. They're no longer seniors. They are graduates on their way out, kicked out as of Sunday. I'm just kidding. I don't think anyone saw me. Oh, maybe Aiden and Kelly did. But we decided to do something to honor them. So I'm sorry, those who graduated last year, you missed out by a couple days, maybe a year. But what we want to do is we want to give them some Bibles. We want to give them some Bibles. These are not just any Bibles. These are apostolic study Bibles. So the way that these work is there's the Bible on top, and there's some commentary and explanation down in the bottom. So you can literally give yourself a Bible study just by cracking open a verse. You wonder what Acts 2:38 is talking about, what it means, this Bible will tell you. I can't tell you how many times I've come to this trying to look for some explanation on something, and I've read it, and, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. The commentary or the comments are put together by well-respected preachers and ministers within the UPCI. So we wanted to give you graduates your own Bible. And when I say your own Bible, I mean your own Bible. It has your name on the front. My precious mother put your name on the inside cover in some very nice lettering. And then each of you guys has a little note from a member of the youth team and your pastor in there for you guys to read later. But the purpose of this Bible is to symbolize the next chapter in your life. No longer are you getting the milk of the word. Now you got to go get some meat. You might have to go find something. Go get it yourself. We wanted to give you an ability to do that. To answer any questions that you still might have, hey, why do we do the things that we do? To serve as a reminder or a memorial of where you are at this time in your life. And August 20th, when you receive this Bible. So when things get dark and you get lost, you can go back and be, hey, this is where I was. I want to get back there. I want to get back to this memorial. And it's to show you how far you've come. We wrote some comments in there, some things maybe to work on. And it's to show you, hey, I've succeeded. I've beaten that. I'm way past that now. But the Bible is the Bible, and the Word of God will not return void. So, before we give you this Bible, we're going to take a quick minute to recognize a graduate who is not with us. So there's one person who couldn't be here to receive their Bible tonight. A year ago, we lost a member of our youth group in a tragic car accident, and we wanted to ensure that we remembered and honored him tonight with the rest of our graduates. Madden Rossing was a very special young man. He's not forgotten. We miss seeing him down front with his hands raised, seeing his smile as he greeted us when he was ushering. And the family will be presented with a Bible after church. But we wanted to make sure that we didn't forget one of our graduates this year. So, if the graduates could come kind of up to this altar area. Yes. Woohoo! And youth leaders, I believe you guys have your Bibles. You know who to hand your Bibles to, so you can go ahead and hand out now. All right, you guys can be seated for a little bit. All right. So now the time that y'all have been waiting for to hear from the graduates. I've got some words before these graduates get up and speak. So first off, we've got Aiden going in alphabetical order. Just wait. I have some things to say. So Aiden, thank you so much for being the only student to visit the only Penn store in Chicago on our graduate trip. I was going to walk half a mile all by myself, and Aiden decided, nah, I'm not going to let this guy go by himself. I'll walk with him. And the poor guy spent 40 minutes in a Penn store that he had zero desire to be in. So thank you, Aiden, for appeasing me. On a serious note, thank you for the growth that you've taken upon yourself. Thank you for wanting a Bible study. You know, the times we would meet at my house and go over the Bible and you'd ask questions, and to this day, you're still furthering your growth, and that's something that I very much admire. You've taken out opportunities to learn and better yourself. And if we can switch to the next one, it was an honor being able to see you baptized here in our baptismal tank. So Aiden wanted to be baptized at Congress, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. What an awesome opportunity. But it was, like, way too loud, and there was, like, a million paperwork to fill out, and we had to get a million phone calls, and Aiden's like, I'll just do it when we get back. And I'm like, all right, sounds good to me. But to this day, and probably for the rest of my life, and I'm sorry you can't see it in that video, but this man is the only man I know of to get baptized in Crocs, which I'm pretty sure should have been left in that baptismal tank. Amen. No Crocs. So, without further ado, Aiden Stanek.
Hi. Well, my name's Aiden, as you all know. I want to give a special thanks to Jordan and Abby for, well, everything, all their help and support throughout these last few months. And I want to give a special thanks to everybody else here as well for all the support that each and every one of you has given me. And, well, this year I plan on going to Whitewater, UW-Whitewater as well. I'm going to be going and studying business management. And that's my future plans. And thank you guys for everything.
All right, the next one we have is Caroline. And I'm sorry, I don't have any. I think I have a picture of Caroline. There she is. So that's how you're going to always see Caroline, is with a smile on her face. I tried to find a goofy photo. I tried to find a funny photo. I didn't have any because all she does is smile. Something I'm going to miss about Caroline is your very meek spirit. You're always willing to help out. You're willing to pitch in. You're willing to do what needs to be done. You're either smiling or you're worshiping. Thankfully, we hopefully still get to see you worshiping on the platform on Sundays. But going to miss you worshiping at youth events and being a leader. And I speak for both Abby and myself when I say we appreciate your teaching, the depth of knowledge that you brought to youth class, and how far you dig into the Bible and pull those things up and how well you deliver it. It is very much appreciated. So we're going to miss seeing you around youth events. We're thankful that you're able to, even this week, you're giving a seventh grader a ride home on Friday, I believe. So very much appreciate it. Thank you so much. Caroline.
All right. I got to get my notes ready. All right. Okay, so I want to share a testimony of what God has done in my life and where I'm at now. I hope my testimony can help anybody, particularly anybody in the youth. So to start, sometimes I tend to forget all the things that God has done for me, and I tend to think I'm not a criminal, I've never done drugs, like, you know, I've never done anything that's, like, bad like that. So I'm really not that bad of a person, and it makes me think that I'm not that bad of a person, and it makes me forget how much God has saved me from and how much I need God. And so to start, I grew up in the church, like you all know. I would wear skirts. I never cut my hair. I never swore. I never did, you know, all that bad stuff. And I followed the rules. But inside, I questioned things at times. And I didn't really love God and His Word as much as I should have. And an example of this was I had a season in my life where I had some struggles that many of you guys wouldn't even know about. I still wore skirts. I still had long hair. I still went to church. You know, I would raise my hands, you know, do all that stuff. But I began to live worldly in some ways. And in my room, I would go and I would go listen to worldly music and long to live like the world in some ways. And I would even hear people from church who did the same thing, and it emboldened me. And I didn't feel so guilty about it because I was like, well, it's not like I'm stealing or committing a crime or doing something, you know, that we all think is bad. But the music that I would listen to, it had lyrics that were so against God and so against His Word and His will. And they didn't say things that were like, oh, anti-Jesus, but they were lyrics that were promoting rebellion against authority and sexual immorality, and they just had so many curse words. And I would get caught sometimes by my parents, and I would say, you know, oh, I'm sorry. And I would go through the discipline, but then I would quickly go through my old ways. And I would only go through the discipline only to get out of it. And in some ways, I didn't even want to change. And I remember my dad, he would always tell me, he would say, the discipline itself cannot change you and is not meant to change you, but it's only to push you towards the changer, who is Jesus. And so in this season, I knew the Bible, I knew God and His will and all those things, but I wrestled with myself with what I really wanted. And again, I was caught doing things I shouldn't have been doing. And I went through the discipline, but this time I truly cried out to God. And I was just so sick and tired of my old ways. And during this time, I began to pray. I began to even fast for my struggles of my sin. And I cried out to God. I cried with a sincere, like for a sincere change in my heart. And I told God, the changer, you know, in honesty, how much I love the world, but at the same time, I wanted to love God and His ways and how I needed a change in my life. And God was there to change me. And I came to the realization that I try to change, but every time I would try to and try to and try to, I failed. And how I needed God to do the work in me to change. And so the Bible even says in Philippians 2:13, it says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. And so as I let God work in me for this change, I started to see God. He started to change my desires, and I started to see a want to do His will. And no, I'm not perfect, but I can truly say that God has done a work in my life. And I'm not just following rules and doing all these things that we do at church just because, oh, they're the rules. But I'm doing it because God wants me to. And I'm not doing it because my mom or my pastor or my dad says so. But I'm doing it because I want to obey God and I love Him. And I just want to please Him. And I can honestly say that God has done a work in my life. And I'm a living testimony of what was impossible for me to change. God changed it. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And all I want to do now is please God and do whatever He wants. And what He wants, I want. What He doesn't want, I don't want. And that's with everything. That's with my college. That's with dating, friends, everything. And so I just want to share a testimony of what God has done in my life because I didn't deserve it, but He did it for me, and I'm so thankful. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Caroline. Running out of hands. Don't worry, you'll get a chance to speak. So Kaylin was unable to go to our grad trip, so we still brought Kaylin on our grad trip. So we're going to have her speak in a little bit. Nicole Kalen Strong. So I still haven't found your folding chair. I looked, and I haven't found it. I should invest in one. I'm going to miss your criticisms. My hair isn't right. My fit isn't right. The things I say aren't right. The things that I speak aren't right. The way that I sit isn't right. The way I stand isn't right. The way that I breathe isn't right. I'm going to miss your criticisms, and I'm going to miss your teaching. I'm going to miss your teaching in class. Both Abby and I, again, I speak for Abby and myself. We appreciate the way that you can deliver the word of God. Sometimes a little blunt, but it gets delivered. You're an incredible teacher. You're an incredible teacher. Keep using your gift. Keep applying yourself to the word of God. I'm going to miss your real talks in deeper class. When we might be a little soft around a subject, Kaylin is not. She asks the hard questions, she says the real statements, and that's something that I'm going to miss in deeper class. So thank you, real Kaylin. You can.
So hi, I'm Kaylin, as Jordan has already mentioned. I am up here to share a little bit of what God is doing in my life and what he already has in my life. This fall, I plan on starting at Madison College and doing their liberal arts transfer program for English, and then I plan to study there for 2 years, and then I will be actually transferring to UW-Madison to complete my degree in elementary education. Ever since I can remember, I've had a heart for working with kids. I love kids. I love being around them. I love making them happy. I love making an impact on their lives. I love seeing them grow, learn new things, and gain confidence in themselves. And I believe God put that passion in me for a reason. Every time that I've ever thought about doing something else or prayed about doing something else, it always comes back to teaching and being with kids. Not just to teach, but to be someone who can encourage, support, and be a light for God in their classroom. I also know that teaching is more than just a job, that it was a calling for me from God. I want to be the kind of teacher who notices the student sitting alone, or who prays for his students, or who models Christ's love in the way that I treat others. That's why I see the path as something God is leading me into, not just something that I decided for myself. That's not all I wanted to say, and Jordan asked me to speak on something that was possibly on my heart this past year or recently, and really there's only been one big thing that has really been on my heart and that I've had to deal with this year. This past year has been one of the hardest years of my life. I lost a close friend, as many of you know. And that loss has been a major struggle. Along with the sadness came moments where I questioned my faith. I had days where I asked God why and didn't get the answers that I wanted. But even in those seasons of doubt and grief, God did not let go of me. He reminded me in little ways that he was still there, through people checking in on me, through songs that spoke to my heart, and through his word alone. One verse that has meant a lot to me during this time was Psalms 34:18. That says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." That verse reminded me that God doesn't step away when we are hurting. He actually draws closer. I've learned that it's okay to bring my questions to him because he can handle them when I feel like that I can't. Another verse that has encouraged me is Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Even when I can't see the full picture, I can trust that he's working things together for my good, even when it does not feel like it." Looking back, I can see how God has been preparing me, not just for college or a career, but for life. He's teaching me to depend on him when things are hard, to trust him when I can't see my way ahead or when I feel like he's not there, and to keep moving forward knowing that my future is in his hands at all times. So if you're going through something hard right now, my encouragement is this: don't give up even if you don't feel like you have all the answers. You can trust the one who does. He will walk with you through the valleys and lead you into the plans that he prepared for you. And I can promise you this, that his plans are always better than our own.
All right, I think there's a video for this one. Before you play it, I just want to say this next student has shown up to almost every single youth event, including one in a snowstorm that Jordan probably should have canceled. Our attendance, I'm pretty sure, was 3. We had more youth leaders than youth at this event. It was in the dead of winter, but this youth, she got perfect attendance in the deeper class, and I think almost every single event she showed up to. And I was like, I gotta say something about it. And then this video popped into my mind. There we go. So, we're talking about Kyla. So, you know, it's not time yet. I still got more to say. Thank you for always showing up to the youth events. Thank you for always having a smile in talking with Abby and going over the things that we've admired about Kyla. We've seen you grow quite a bit. From August to now, we've seen you grow quite a bit. We've pushed you. You've pushed back. We've pushed harder. You've growled back. You wouldn't think that you'd be afraid of somebody that's 3 feet tall, but I have the mic. I'm in charge. But some of the things to try and put into pictures, because pictures can speak 1,000 words. Way back in August or September when we were first introduced to Kyla, you know, she was very shy. She'd show up to the youth events. And recently, she's teaching in youth class with Abby. So that was awesome. She definitely did not want to do it. But with a little coaxing, a little prodding, and somebody to help her along, she taught a youth class. And then recently at Congress, I just kind of looked over and I saw little Kyla praying with another member of the youth. So I appreciate it. It's growth. And come take the mic now.
Okay, thank you, Jordan. You have it coming for you later. be careful what you say, because words hurt. I'm here to talk about my testimony today. So 5 years ago, I wasn't really in the church. During this time, I hung out with someone who I believed to be my friend, but she ended up hurting me in a lot of ways that are not like the best, and she betrayed me. And I hit a really low point in my life, so I told my mom, you know, we have to go back to church, you know, something's missing. So we started coming back. Once I started coming back, it was awkward, and I still felt really alone, and I felt like I was missing something. Until one Wednesday night, Caroline saw me sitting alone and decided to come up and talk to me. We were friends for a little bit when we were in, like, kids' rages, but once I stopped going to church, we drifted apart, which was really hard. But she saw me sitting alone, and it took a lot of convincing and a lot of poking and prodding, but she got me to go to a youth event with her. At first, I felt super out of place, but then I became more comfortable, and after some more convincing, she got me to go to youth class with her. And even though I felt uncomfortable, I knew I had to be there. With going to youth class consistently, I now have a closer relationship with God. Going to youth has also helped me come out of my shell and has allowed me to experience new things such as going to Winter Youth Convention, NAYC, and many more things, and also all the events that I attended. But anyway, I'm really thankful for what God is doing in my life, and I am excited to see what he has in store for my future, and I can't wait.
Hi guys, this is really awkward for me. We have another youth who is graduating. As many of you know, she grew up in this church. Her name is Callie. Callie has opted out of speaking today, so I just want to say a couple things about Callie because she's really amazing, and she's been through a lot, and she is sarcastic and witty and funny and kind of mean sometimes, but she's so sweet too. Callie is one of those personalities that, like, she's kind of like a wild animal. Like, at first she's like growling at you and hissing at you, but then like you kind of coax her into it and she becomes your friend. And I really love her, and I'm just really proud of how far she's come, and that's all I gotta say about Callie.
My honor to introduce the last graduate that we have. For the better part of a decade, this guy's been like a little brother to me. I've had the privilege to watch him grow from the kid that he was when I first started getting close to him to the man that he is now, full of energy, character, and the desire to follow God. He's been through so much in his life at such a young age, but he's never allowed it to bring him down. He's only allowed it to bring himself up and to get closer with God. So it's my honor to welcome Kenley Rivest up to speak with us.
Thanks, Justin. All right. Admittedly, I had senioritis from the start of my sophomore year. Okay, let's be honest, probably as a freshman too. You can just ask my parents. I couldn't wait to be done with school. I was so ready for my senior year. Just playing basketball, hanging out with my homies, skipping class. Sorry, guys. I wasn't very serious at the start of my senior year when I picked my senior quote. I picked, "In the midst of chaos, there's opportunity." But man, looking back at my senior year, that couldn't have been more spot on. A few weeks ago, I was mowing the lawn here at church, and the song, "He's in the Room," started playing on my headphones. I found myself overwhelmed with emotion and began crying as I realized that He was in the room. He was in the room with us that tragic December day. It's a day I don't think I'll ever forget. I never dreamed I would find myself in the middle of a school shooting at my small Christian high school. It was just another Monday morning, another study hall goofing off with my buddy Josiah. Our teacher had actually separated us for goofing off too much, and seconds after that, following up on a few missing assignments at her desk, chaos erupted. I heard bullets shooting and saw the unthinkable begin to unfold in my study hall of just 12 people. I was convinced my time was up when that gun had faced me. I buried myself in the corner of the room behind a bookcase and just started praying and seeking God and began speaking in tongues. The bullets stopped, the shooter was down, and I heard my friend yell. I don't exactly know how, but I got up and helped those that I could. I sprinted down the hallway, running right out of my Birks to get paper towel to help stop the bleeding on a few of my friends. I called 911 to get help and ran downstairs to let the police into our building and showed them exactly where to go. I saw things that I wish I had never would have seen and heard sounds that I wish I never would have heard. But in it all, I can see how God was there and He was in the room. His Spirit in me helped me to help others. This event has marked me, but I'm determined that it will not define me. There are days that I think of all this multiple times a day, but most days now are better days, but there are still times that I feel like sulking and laying around. But you got to push past it. I think the words that my good friend, Brother Scott Jacob, shared with me, "I choose courage over fear and compassion when the pain makes me feel bitter." John 1:5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome it." This short verse is a verse that me and my teammates really grasped and clung to. We shared it at every pre- and post-game interview, every news station that showed up to practice, and in every article that was written about us. We saw God's light shine through the darkness in our school. In the midst of evil, peace and hope showed up. I feel like God has given me a heart for healing because I know what it feels like to be deeply wounded and still move forward as God helps me. I want to answer a calling, not just choose a career. So for my future, I've decided to attend Madison College to pursue my education in nursing. I'm so thankful that God has blessed me with an awesome family, an awesome support group of close friends, Justin and Sarah, and they've been there for me. And of course, my little energetic golden doodle that I got in January. But most of all, I am thankful that God is in the room. Thank you.
Man, we got some great graduates. Didn't they do a good job? Can we give them a hand? You guys are and girls are awesome. I'm so excited to see the growth that happens in your life already and what that means for the future. As I close this out, though, I really feel to speak to the graduates for just a minute. But I think, like I always tell you, that sometimes we speak to parents at a baby dedication, or we speak to fathers on Father's Day, or we speak to mothers on Mother's Day, and we can still get a message if we're not a father or a mother or parent. And I think so, maybe you'll hear it too, but I just want to speak to the graduates for a minute and just share a couple thoughts with you. I think when I was in that situation, I was waiting for the day when things would finally start to get easy. No, seriously. It's like, this has been hard. It's hard being 15 and 16 and 17 and 18. It's difficult. And I was thinking, like, maybe when I go to college, it'll get easier. Maybe when I get out of college, it'll get easier. Maybe life will get simpler when I'm an adult and am married and have kids. And adults, don't laugh right now, okay? But I seriously, we think that as people. And there comes a moment in life where we have to realize that tough times are always going to be there. That disappointments are always going to be there. That offenses, young people, are always going to be there. That failures are always going to be there. And so once I became comfortable with the fact that those things are always going to happen in life, then it's about how I respond to them and who I take with me through them. And that's where God comes in. I think so often we go to a place like NAYC, or we go to youth camp, or we go to a great service and youth week, and we have this, can I call it a mountaintop experience? I was reading the Bible this week. In 1 Kings 20, verse 23, it says, the servants of the king of Assyria said to him, this is the enemies of the Israelites, their gods are the gods of the hills. Therefore, let's take them into a valley and fight them there. And so they get them down to the valley. And in verse 28, then the man of God came and spoke to the people of Israel and said, thus says the Lord, because the Syrians have said, their God is a God of the hills, but he's not a God of the valley. Therefore, I will deliver this great multitude into your hand, and you shall know that I am God. You serve a God of the hills, but a God that wants to walk with you through the valleys. There are valleys everywhere. And if we just think we're going to live on mountaintops, that's not realistic. And that's why David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Your rod, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Can we stand tonight as we close this out? And so, young people, I guess I'm just sharing with you, yeah, life sucks sometimes. And I'm not telling you to have fun in it, but I'm telling you to realize that if that's going to happen, how can I respond? And that God is with you in the valleys. And he wants to prove that to you. Can I have all the youth come to the front? Can I gather right around the front? All of you, right here, right in the front. and all the youth leaders kind of filing behind him. Every youth, not just graduates, youth, come out of the front. As this school year starts, whether graduates, you're going off to college or going to some trade school or maybe taking a break, that's okay. As this school year starts, I'm not promising you that it's going to be easy. I actually promise you there will be difficulties. There will be valleys. There will be challenges. But I also promise you that if you will stretch out your hand like a little kid and say, God, walk with me through this, he will do that. And that's my challenge to you tonight. And so I want to pray over you and pray with you, and I'd like you to pray as well. But parents, family, anybody in this congregation that just has a heart for youth and young people, can we pray for them too, that God is with them where they go? Right? That he is with them in the valleys. Can we do it? Let's raise our hands and pray tonight. God, Lord, we pray over these young people right now. God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that your spirit would go with them, that it would go before them, that it would go around them, God. Lord, that they would know that though the valley will come, that disappointments will come, that failures and offenses and tough times will come, though trials will come, that you are with them in all of it. God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that as they turn to you, God, in every one of these moments, that you would be there with an open arm, with an open arms, with a great hug, God, with a holding hand, God, Lord, showing them your love. Lord, let them know that nothing that they do, nothing they go through will separate them from the love of God, Lord. God, Lord, I pray your protection and your anointing over their lives, God. Lord, that you will speak to them. God, Lord, we speak over these graduates right now. God, Lord, I pray a blessing over them. Every time they open your word, God, Lord, that they would hear your voice. As they mine out and dig out your word, God, I pray, Lord, an anointing over them, over their ears and their minds, God, as they hear you. God, Lord, we pray over this school year, God, that you would direct and protect and anoint and that they would be lights in, on a hill, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's pretty dark, isn't it? I wouldn't let my kids watch that YouTube video. I will not fear, for you are with me. This is the year, guys. It's coming. Life happens. It's normal. Face it with God, okay? Praise God. As we close tonight, we are excited. They're going to worship, but I just want to, it's a little different ending. It's Youth Week, right? But I want to give us a chance to respond. I don't know what everybody's going through. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what hill or valley you're on, what river, where you're going through, but God is with you. And I just want to take some time. We like to close every service with a chance to respond. And even though it's Youth Week, we can all respond. And so let's just take a chance, just some moments to just respond to God tonight and say, God, I want to go deeper in you. I want to be closer to you. I want to take the next step with you, even, as Sister Jessica said, if it's a small one. I just want to take a small step. Can we do that? As they worship, as they start to sing, let's take some time, pray where you're at, pray around the front. Let's worship God and just talk to God for a few minutes tonight. Praise God.